96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I have all my love to give. Papa son never grumble, grumble, grumble. Laddy son never bling down in style. At the age of one, when I just begun for the one up to stand up on my feet and try to walk along. When people talk to me, I just could not understand. I used to look up in the face and wonder what is going on. At the age of two, what my mommy do? Oh, she paid me properly and put on my beautiful shoe. She used to walk me to the park. She used to take me to the zoo. She tried to teach me how to talk, but I just don't know what to do. At the age of three, what do I see? Oh, mommy and daddy try to talk to me. Yeah, but to answer back, but I could not speak so properly. I have so many things to learn, like my ABC. I will survive, I will survive. Oh, I know how to live, I know I stay alive. I have all my style to give, I have all my love to give. Papa son never grumble, grumble, grumble. Daddy son I go fling down in style. At the age of four, try to pull my door. Fi do I know to go out on the street and see the place some more. If my mommy ever catch me, she would have grumbled, she would have roar, she would have slapped me in the ass.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 24th of July, 2026, and you are on the clock with Aaron. We got one more weekend till Emancipation Weekend, the public holiday. And then that could be the last public holiday until October. Green. That's who you're talking with this morning. I am focused on getting the most out of my public holidays. And that's why Guardian Radio and the Guardian Media Group want to send you away for the summer with the Great Summer Escape Giveaway. You could win a trip for two, including hotel, car, luggage, and $1,000 cash. All you need is your passport. Just get a Nassau Guardian newspaper, fill out the entry form, drop it in the entry box at the Nassau Guardian in Oaksfield, and tune into Guardian Radio and follow the Nassau Guardian on all social media platforms for your chances to win. That's hotel, car, luggage, and $1,000 cash. The Guardian Media Group, Great Summer Escape Giveaway. The deadline to enter is August 12th. The drawing takes place on August 14th. A good morning. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. It's Friday, so it means we have the Natural Corner with Empress Divine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Blessings. How are you doing?
I'm blessed.
All right. And then we're going to have another segment. Well, joining us will be Mr. Edison Sumner, president of the Bahamas Red Cross Society. They are having a fundraiser this afternoon, today, Friday, the 24th of July, 2026, 12 noon to 4 p.m. It is a grill and chill at the Red Cross Society headquarters at number 94 JFK Drive. And when Mr. Sumner gets here, we're going to talk a bit more about that event and what's going on with the Red Cross. You see, we started the show this morning with I Will Survive by Papa San. How many of y'all remember that song? As soon as I saw it, I was looking for I Will Survive songs, because today on the Natural Corner, remember, we're talking famine foods, food that you didn't know you could eat, and food items we may need to rely on in a pinch. But right before we get there, you got your Nassau Guardian, guys? Get your Nassau Guardian today. The headline, U.S. hits Bahamas with 12.5% tariff. And I just want to say, if I had known that training raccoons to dive up crawfish was slave labor, I would not have done it. If I had known, I would not have done it. Also, whoever tell the raccoons to call the labor board, I'm very upset at y'all. They didn't even know how to use the phone. And here you are teaching them things. Anyway, The Guardian today headlines, U.S. hits Bahamas with 12.5% tariff. More than 100 unregulated structures in North Andres marked for demolition. Cooper says government remains at table with BUT. Say, despite claims from the union president, Wilson, that the government backed away from ongoing industrial agreement negotiations, Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper said yesterday that negotiations are underway. Quote, the government continues to be at the table, close quotes, Cooper said. I just need to know. I want to know, where is the table? And does the union know where the table is? Quote, we had a negotiation team led by Bernard Evans and Reverend Father James Palacios. They are talking directly with the union. We go to page 7. President and her team of negotiations. Quote, I don't make it a habit of negotiating it in the press, and therefore I don't have any discussion on any of the details. I don't think anybody asked you that, sir. I think all we want to know is, did the meeting that was supposed to take place on Wednesday take place? You adding all kinds of things to the conversation that we weren't necessarily concerned about. We just wanted to know whether Wednesday took place on Wednesday. See, because that's the table that they're talking about. Were you at that table on Wednesday? That's all. That's it. But you don't discuss the details. Nobody wants you to discuss the details in the public, sir. Nobody asked you for that. So who are you rowing? To say that you were expected to continue negotiations on Wednesday is discussing details in the public? But is this Sparta? Is this gang culture? Is this how we negotiate with stakeholders in our country? I'm just going to continue to read quickly. Quote, we look forward to a briefing in the coming days from our negotiating team, and we are hopeful that before long we are able to put that negotiation behind us. Close quote. He said, quote, suffice to say we are committed to completing the process, quote, and when there's more to tell, we'll call a press conference to the signing. Call a press conference before the Ghanaian Minister of Foreign Affairs announce your business in the public. Like, who are you actually rowing? Should you be rowing the Ghanaian Minister of Foreign Affairs that set this unfortunate set of circumstances into play? Is that who you rowing? On Wednesday, Wilson accused the government of abandoning negotiations and instructed public school teachers across the country to remain alert. Among other benefits, the union is trying to achieve a salary increase. In a voice message, Wilson said she was informed by the government's lead negotiator that the government would not be at the table because the government's negotiation team has concluded, comma, close quotes, and is, quote, not empowered to go any further, close quotes. Wilson listed expectations from the government, including a return to the negotiation table, a date, time, and venue for negotiations to resume. See, that's like the man tell me he want to marry me, and he told me we're going to go and meet with the priest on Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, I get a call from the priest to say the man call him and tell him ain't no meeting. But I must sit here and think that everything is okay with the marriage, with the betrothal, with the engagement. I supposed to just sit here and wait for him to tell me when we supposed to go to the priest for the meeting we supposed to have before we get married? That's what we doing? Cooper continues, quote, we are on an aggressive path to ensure that we bridge the gap where there are shortfalls, close quotes, Cooper said. The reason I'm taking time out to read this is because the question needs to be asked. Are you forcing a reduction in the expectation of quality of life so that your governance could be perceived as successful? Is that what you're doing? Are you trying to convince us that we just expect too much? We just expect too much. Well, we expect whatever it is you expect, sir. Whatever it is you expect. In fact, if it was in the natural corner today, I would tell you, play the whole hog by Ophi and the Websites. Because I want the whole hog. That is just an amazing piece of poetry, which I guess is apropos from the new Minister of Education. Good morning. We're going to slide right into the natural corner with Empress Divine. Good morning, Empress.
Good morning, Erin.
Today we're talking farming foods, the food you didn't know you could eat or you didn't know how beneficial and nutritious it was for you. My mummy grew up on the Fort Hill Empress, right opposite police headquarters. And apparently they used to have a magical hog plum tree in the yard, Empress. Every little children in the Fort Hill area know about this hog plum tree. This hog plum tree could sustain you for 5 days in the wilderness with just a handful of hog plum. My aunties, my cousins, my uncles, all of them talk about this hog plum tree. And I realized that they may have realized but couldn't articulate how nutrient-packed this hog plum tree was, that they could sustain themselves for a whole day on just a couple handfuls of hog plum. And we got lots of little things living with us that we live in with that we have no idea how beneficial they are, nor that we can rely on them if our traditional food sources or our food supply chain collapse somehow, that we have these things we could fall back on. I brought my list, and I know you brought some examples for us today as well. So how are you doing? And if just a word, how was last night's event?
Celebration was fine. It was nice. We had a good turnout, and we went until after 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And the music was just good. The priests, they performed well. Mm-hmm. And we just honored the king.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, famine foods. I did a little researching. This is what AI told me. Famine foods, also known as poverty foods. We ain't worried about that. See? I think that's political. Right? And we can start with, let me start it right here. Lobster, crawfish, crabs, like stone crab. These were all considered poverty food, poor people food.
Right.
Things that only poor people could afford. And now today, if you could afford a lobster tail, you live in luxury. And especially if you could go to a restaurant
and order,
right? It's no longer considered poverty food.
No.
And so what is a famine food, or what is perceived as a famine food, could shift over time as dynamics change. But famine foods are inexpensive, wild, or unconventional resources consumed by populations to survive during severe periods of hunger, starvation, or acute food crises. These desperate measures are utilized when traditional conventional food supplies collapse. There's wild and marginal foraging, so that's like going through the bush and finding governor's plum, right? And finding wild passion fruit, which I found. And I find that wild passion fruit grows, like when you see wild passion fruit, be careful because you can see monkey tamarind, I think. Because everywhere I've seen it, I've seen monkey tamarind in the same place. There's also tree bark and weeds and bulbs and roots and insects and wild plants. And we ain't really talking about the insects and wild plants today. We because in some places, like in, I got it right here, in Cambodia, during the humanitarian crisis, they started eating spiders, tarantulas, scorpions, silkworms, and grasshoppers. And now, fried tarantulas is a delicacy. It's popular in the town of Squan in Cambodia, right? There's something on this list. Tulip bulbs and sugar beets were eaten in German-occupied parts of the Netherlands during the hunger winter of 1944 and 1945. And I think, but beets are a delicacy in the Bahamas now, to find a locally grown beet is very expensive, right? But this is the one here. I gotta get it because there is a tree called the Morinda citrifolia. It is sometimes called a starvation fruit, implying it was used by indigenous peoples in the South Pacific as emergency food during times of famine. You know what Morinda citrifolia is, Empress?
No.
Noni.
What?
It's the noni fruit. Now, typically, we ferment the noni, right? And then we mix a heavy concord grape with it to make it palatable for consumption. Because fermented noni is very good for you. But it tastes, if I could say plainly, bad. It tastes bad. That's why they ferment it. But what I found is what is bitterer is betterer.
Always.
Yes, ma'am.
It's funny you said that. We just had some roots wine made from noni, and it was great.
Right, because when you ferment it and blend it with other elements, it could be beautiful.
Yeah.
But I watched this man one day just eat a noni fruit. He just pick it up off the tree and eat it, and I could be honest with you, he looked very healthy too, right? Like, you looked at him, and you could see, like, his skin was glowing.
Right.
He had minimal fat, plenty muscle.
Beneficial.
Yeah, very beneficial. So you were telling me about scourgeon.
Yes, the scourgeon needle, which is the cactus.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's regenerative of cells.
Mm-hmm.
You could drink it in a tea. You could saute that and really fry that too and eat it as meat too. And we regular call it the cactus.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, that's a form.
It's the one we call tuna, right?
Yes.
Because tuna is a part of its official name. It's like patuna something something, right? But we call it tuna. And I knew that from when I started growing locks.
Right.
Because Rasta tell me, find the cactus, hibiscus, and multicolored croton.
Right.
As a treatment for my hair.
Yes.
Right? And so aloe or the tuna. When I couldn't find the tuna, I use aloe instead of the tuna.
Aloe is good too. It strengthens your follicles.
Oh, yes.
And you could consume it too because it's good for your in the digestion system.
Mm-hmm. Now, Empress, our second guest has joined us, and I want him to join the conversation.
Right.
It's Mr. Edison Sumner, president of the Bahamas Red Cross Society. They are having an event today, the Grill and Chill, and they are also at the start of a 3-month membership campaign drive, right?
Okay.
And since we talk in famine foods, since we're talking things that people could survive on in a pinch, I figure the Red Cross Society got to be a part of this conversation because you and I have some examples of famine food that can be worked into our daily palate.
Right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Mr. Sumner. Oh, can you kick that door for me? Yeah, give it a good... Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How you do?
I am excellent. It's a pleasure to be in your company once again.
Absolutely. Now that I've tricked you onto my show, sir.
It was a trick, but.
To promote the Red Cross Society Grill and Chill this afternoon, I have one question to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have any Gnep lemonade available at the Grill and Chill?
Well, we got Gneps.
You got Gneps?
I know about the lemonade, but we got Gneps.
Ooh.
Listen, the Red Cross, if you have ever been to our campus, you'd find that we have a yard filled with mature fruit trees.
Okay.
We run a vibrant backyard farming program.
Okay.
We grow a lot of our own produce.
Okay.
That we use in our kitchen for our Meals on Wheels program.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to the Red Cross, some days I sit in the back of the yard on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
We got benches that are there built around the trees. You can sit and relax under the bench. I go pick my own gneps, pick my own avocados, pick my own mangoes.
Mm-hmm.
And tomatoes and other stuff in the back of the yard. So we have a full, it's almost like a farm in the Red Cross compound there. So a lot of our natural foods are already there.
All right. So to our local nurseries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Red Cross Society gonna need y'all to deliver a couple little bundles of citronella, lavender, broadleaf, thyme, cooking thyme, oregano, and rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for the culinary purposes to ensure that the meals prepared by Red Cross Society and their partners taste as good as they could taste.
Yeah.
But those plants also have insect repellent properties.
They do.
right? And mm-hmm. so wherever your benches are, you're going to plant those around the benches in the seating
Absolutely.
Areas
yeah.
to minimize or maintain, balance the garden and all of its
I got them in my yard, too, you know. I learned about these properties of these plants,
yes, yes.
that they go beyond just nutrition for your body, that they have some other environmental
benefits
as well. So we're very cognizant of that. And because of our deep concern for the environment, for climate, for our ability to deliver healthy meals to our clients on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
we do use a lot of produce from our yard, from okay. the garden. Of course, we now have a plan to expand that garden. We want to essentially multiply the output that we have, right, with all the produce that we produce currently,
all right.
so that there's more fresh produce from the field to table,
mm-hmm.
right? That is our goal, to expand it. Even we're looking at things like vertical farming, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those areas that we can help to expand the garden at the Red Cross.
So, listen, in January, Ms. Forbes, who is the president of the International
yes,
Federation of
she
Red
was
Cross,
with us.
Right?
Yeah.
And she mm-hmm. talked about seeing the region and the Bahamas as open for more investment,
Certainly.
Right, of resources, of time.
Mm-hmm.
And what you talked about just now, right, like the field to table, field to fork.
Mm-hmm.
You can increase exponentially your access to nutrients by eating local.
Of course.
Right? So
yeah.
we're giving the clients of the Red Cross Society the best they can get when we give them local. I see that in and of itself as expanding
yeah.
what is available in the Bahamas.
Indeed. As a matter of fact, we talk about what you know, offering the best meals. We have a kitchen staff where our chef Donna,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Donna Burrows, is doing a fantastic job in the kitchen, and she is adamant every day that she puts out proper, healthy meals for our clients.
And a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Does Ms. Donna have an arm when she stirred a big pot, the pot big enough you could put Johnny in it like the big boy washer?
Yeah, yeah.
When she stirred that pot, does it cause a storm inside the pot?
Like it's a storm in the pot, a storm in the teacup, a storm everywhere.
Listen, good morning, Donna.
This woman knows how to put her foot in the food.
All right.
Right? She and she turns out some fantastic meals. I've had the great privilege of having had her food fresh off the grill. And I can tell you that her food is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Red Cross produces excellent meals. We don't put meals out that we ourselves aren't prepared to eat or that we can't feed
our
family.
Or pay money for.
Or pay money for.
Yeah.
The food that she produces and her team produces, I pay money to go and eat that food.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's and I'm not just saying that because I'm the president there, but because I love food and I love her food and she does. She produces very good food. And so today she's out there at the kitchen.
Prepping the grill.
She's been there. She comes into the Red Cross kitchen early in the morning before mm-hmm. we are even up. She's preparing meals for the day to send out to our Meals on Wheels clients.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a note from my DG that she's on the road today helping to deliver meals to the Meals on Wheels clients.
And so the grill and chill this afternoon does not disrupt the regular schedule of events.
It cannot. We have people that we are obligated to support every day,
yeah.
right? So the DG just sent me a note a moment ago saying that she's on the road today helping with delivering the Meals on Wheels program because we need all hands on deck, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
The grill that's happening is actually going to be all day. We have a massive amount of meals to prepare today,
okay.
apart from our Meals on Wheels program.
Okay.
So we have some wonderful support there. We got some grill masters over there on the grills today, all
mm-hmm.
day. They've been there from early this morning. So we deliver up to about 200 meals every morning before
mm-hmm.
11 o'clock every day to be sure that those clients have a fresh meal every day that they will enjoy. And because we're having this exceptional event today, it cannot interfere with the people that we feed every day.
Absolutely.
Right? So what may happen today is they might get a little extra, right?
Yeah.
because of what we're doing.
Don't be upset if your meal come late. It may have steak or chicken or pork on the plate.
Never know. But today you will have the great pleasure. Last year when we did this, I was actually on the road helping to deliver meals. And I had the great pleasure of delivering along with the British High Commissioner, who came to join me.
Okay.
And we delivered meals to some of the senior homes,
mm-hmm.
Which was a fantastic experience. We had a chance to sit down and talk to these folks. You know, I love hanging around older people.
Don't let the raccoon drive the car. You see Trump upset about it, my raccoon brigade. Yeah. I train them. They out, they work in, they volunteer in. Yeah. This is not forced labor, man.
No, that the raccoons
volunteerism.
Do. That the raccoons do what they were anointed to do, right?
Yes, sir.
To provide service.
All right, so the Grill and Chill is at Red Cross Society headquarters.
Yes.
At JFK.
Yes.
All right.
It's at JFK. It's at our headquarters. We're there all day.
Okay.
So we have quite a number of tickets out of meals to be preparing for today.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone who's interested, and we're hoping that those who listen to your wonderful show would also support us today, they can just go down to the Red Cross and say they want to purchase a meal today to support the work that we're doing.
All right.
And so we've got a walk-in line for those who may not have had tickets and just decide to pop in.
Yeah.
We've got a line there for those who hold tickets. And then we also have an entire crew who are working to have the meals that were prepared delivered to those who request the delivery, right?
Okay.
Those who like 20 meals or more, then we're working to deliver some of those meals. So there's a well-structured, well-organized system there today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that anybody who goes by today will not have to wait for long to receive their meals. But
yeah.
I can guarantee one thing. If you have to wait for your meal for a little while, then it will be worth the wait because I think you will really enjoy the meal that's been prepared for you today.
All right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's the Bahamas Red Cross Society Grill and Chill, number 94 JFK Drive, starts at noon all day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry if you don't have a ticket. Just make sure you get on the right line once you get there. But
yeah.
This is not the only way that individuals and corporate entities can support the Red Cross Society. You've also started your three-month membership campaign.
It's campaign. So let's me back up just a little bit for you, just a second. Sorry, when I start talking Red Cross, I get a little passionate about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could talk about this for the whole morning. But we had, last week, we had what we call an interim Central Council meeting.
Okay.
The Central Council is the apex body of the Red Cross. It's the governing body of the Bahamas Red Cross.
Okay.
It includes all of our executives, management committees, our volunteers, members, stakeholders, et cetera. So last week, we had a meeting of the executives of the Central Council meeting where I brought in all of the family island leaders
mm-hmm.
into New Providence for those 2 days of conclave. And during those 2 days, I reemphasized our branch development strategy and our decentralization strategy.
Okay.
Meaning that we're working now to decentralize a lot of the work that's happening in New Providence with the Red Cross and putting a lot of that responsibility now in the purview of the local communities throughout the islands.
Right.
We've elevated our family island groups to now calling all of them branches, where they were not all considered branches. They were groups who had group leaders. We've elevated them to branches, and now they have branch chairpersons, which elevates their level of responsibility as well. And their level, we've improving them the level of accountability, transparency, efficiency, integrity in operations. That went off extremely well. I'm very, very pleased. It was one of the major things I had to do when I came into this office. And out of that, we're now also driving our membership campaign, right, so that we can delineate the differences between what may be a member of the Red Cross and a volunteer of the Red Cross.
I got you.
So the members are the ones who support us financially. They're the ones who drive our resources. They're the ones who come in and tell us, Sumner, you need to do X, Y, Z to improve it, what's happening. And all those opinions are very, very valuable to us. So we have a youth and volunteer manager in the person of Rodrigo Colley, doing a fantastic job. And we have a national chairperson for our membership committee, Ashley Larimore, Pratt Larimore, who also is doing a fantastic job. So now we're running this membership campaign to reintroduce the Red Cross to society, to reintroduce the Red Cross to our family island communities, to reintroduce the Red Cross even to the members of government, because there are many, many members of the government, particularly in the executive branch of government, who were just not fully aware of the work of the Red Cross. They were not aware that the Red Cross is not just an NGO. We're not just a not-for-profit organization. That the Red Cross is an organization established by an act of parliament and is actually an auxiliary to the government. We're the only organization in the country that has this status. And we were sure to fortify that recently when we had the amendments to the Red Cross Act that were passed back in January of this year, which now strengthens the Red Cross Resolve as an auxiliary to the government. Mm-hmm. It now also gives the Bahamas Red Cross Society the same level of privileges and immunities as any other international organization in the country.
Okay.
Right? So that was all done to be sure that we can improve our level of operational efficiency across the country. And I'm very pleased that we're doing this. And the final point I make on this is that in our brand strategy and our decentralization strategy, we are also establishing a physical presence on every island, not just a committee or a group where they have to go find a schoolhouse to meet or a church hall mm-hmm. to meet. We're establishing a physical presence on every island so that every island has a Red Cross center on it, a building that you can walk into that is Red Cross.
Building capacity.
Building capacity. So you will see a Red Cross flag planted on these islands.
Okay.
They will have warehousing capacity. They will have meeting space capacity. They will have community engagement capacity. And that is also important so that we can pre-position items to those islands ahead of any storm
right.
or just to be have to have items there to support community initiatives on those various islands.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Red Cross Society is no longer Lila Green's Red Cross. See, because when I was little, mm-hmm. it was Lila Green's Red Cross. I thought it was government, right? Like it got that much support.
Yes.
Right? From mm-hmm. civil servants, from the business sector, from leaders in the country, it got mm-hmm. that much support.
Yes.
My mom is a public servant, right? Yeah, right. This is
Lila Green. I've seen her names on our documents. I know the history.
Right. And
yes.
So now we are letting people know that it has grown beyond that stage. It has become much more.
Yes.
And we want people to join in at whatever level they could fit.
Yeah.
Now, here's our part, Mr. Sumner. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you, if you have the time, if mm-hmm. not, I understand, because today is the day and you're busy.
Right.
We're going to give you two quick things. I can give you maybe one or two, and Empress going to give you a thing that exists that many people don't know can be a vital part of their diet or, mm-hmm. you know, their daily consumption.
Okay.
You want me to start or you want to?
You go.
Okay. I'm going to start with this thing called Chaya, right?
Chaya.
C-H-A-Y-A. Chaya.
Okay.
Now, the scientific name, I can say this and y'all going to realize why I call it Chaya. Cyndinoscolus aconitifolius.
Is that one word?
No, that's two words.
Oh, okay.
We call it chaya. It is known as tree spinach or Mayan tree spinach or spinach tree, right? It's a fast-growing and leafy perennial shrub. It's got a couple other fancy names. It's native to Mexico. Mm. It does well in hot places. It can do well with wet soil or dry soil, but it is a heat-tolerant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spinach, it is perhaps the best spinach for us to eat. A USDA study in Puerto Rico reported that higher yields of greens could be obtained with chaya than any other vegetable they had studied. In another study, chaya leaves were found to contain substantially greater amounts of nutrients than spinach leaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
It grows like a tree, so it's functional. It occupies a whole side of my house. It is a hedge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my property, you could go out every day and pick it. They say you want to start harvesting leaves after the first 2 years. But when I laid the sticks on the ground, they rooted themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They say, I'm home now.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled themselves upright and started producing leaves. Mm-hmm. The science says eating too much raw can have a toxic effect, just like eating raw cassava could have a toxic effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I know vegans who have eaten it raw. They, like,
so how do you prepare it? How do you eat it?
Oh, I like to saute it down with some onions and tomato, salt and garlic and mm-hmm. other spices.
Okay.
And I'll have that as a vegetable side.
Mm-hmm.
As a big vegetable side, or I'll have it like a small, like how you have a little bit of coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
I may have a little bit of that and some salad
mm-hmm.
and some other broccoli or something. And it goes well. You could eat it with meats. And they got one little takeaway in Johnson Road called Miss Maureen's. It ain't a business. It's a community entity.
Mm.
She started adding the tree spinach to her breakfast to give people a better nutrient, right? Filled breakfast in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It is just an amazing plant. And again, it is heat tolerant. So when the Malabar and the vine spinach die off in the heat,
mm-hmm.
you've got tree spinach to carry you through the rest of the summer.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
Empress Divine?
So we have here the coleus plant.
Coleus.
Speak right into the mic.
The coleus plant. You see them? They grow very low to the ground, and they have multicolored one. So you could saute it too, like spinach, mm-hmm. or you could drink it in this tea.
Okay.
You know, and it has mm-hmm. healing properties too for cancer. Mm. And it tastes very nice.
Okay.
And you just have to cook it, give it some time to cook, just mm-hmm. like spinach, so you could take a little of the, you know, mm-hmm. so it could get mm-hmm. real nice and soft. Okay. So, and the next one is the bougainvillea. You know.
Well, I know about the bougainvillea.
You mm-hmm. do?
Well, I know, but I know there's a plant.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me what does it do.
Okay, so first thing with bougainvillea.
It's
Yeah, it's edible. First thing with bougainvillea, right? We think the flowers are the orange and the purple mm-hmm. and the yellow colors mm-hmm. we see. Those are not the flowers. Those are just the colored petals. They produce a little white flower mm-hmm. on the inside. Go on, Empress.
No, you go. So
you could
also eat that too. And it's nice in a tea too. Mm-hmm. And that also have healing properties.
Okay.
But you saute it down too, just like the spinach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very nutritional.
So what are you eating, the white flower or the colored flowers?
The colored leaves, right?
Yes, the leaves.
The colored leaves.
Yeah.
The flowers. Because there's a green leaf on the bougainvillea.
That's what I was telling you. So we think that the colored petals are the flowers. Mm-hmm. Those are not mm-hmm. the flowers. Inside those colored petals is a little white flower.
Mm-hmm.
That's the flower.
Okay.
So you have the green leaves, and then you have the colored petals or the colored leaves.
Right.
But the flower itself is actually white and sits within those colored leaves.
Okay.
And bougainvillea is also brewed as a tea for menstrual health and conditioning.
Yes, yes.
Now back to the Gannett, my favorite one. Since you have the grill out, right, and I know y'all got, mm-hmm. you could put some Gannett, pop the Gannett in the pot, cover it with a little bit of water while it's on the grill. Let it come to the boil, turn it down, let it simmer. You're going to drain that, you're going to capture that mm-hmm. water, and you're going to strain the fruit to get off the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
That's the base for your lemonade.
Okay.
Now, don't throw away the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to soak the seeds till you can peel that paper layer off that seed. Because mm-hmm. it may still have some flesh on it. You can peel that off. And you're going to wash that in a nut.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to put it in a pan on the grill.
Right.
And you're going to roast the nut. You're going to oil it, give it a little, toss it in a little bit of oil, mm-hmm. throw some salt and seasoning on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to roast that nut on the grill while you're all grilling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to sell that like peanut two for dollar.
Just, we all eat Gannett nuts?
Yeah.
Would you think you were surviving on all summer, Mr. Sumner?
Peanuts.
When you go out in the bush and eat, you realize, I only eat 17 Gannett all day, but I am not hungry.
Yeah.
That's how I survived the summer in Johnson Road.
So, all right, we're going to talk this offline, I guess, some more. But I'm interested in, because I guess I picked some Gannett off my tree last
yes,
night.
Yes, yes. So
I've been enjoying Gannett last night. Right?
Have one now.
Oh, so you got right. Okay.
Yeah. In the indigenous peoples of this area, this region, that was a starch option. That was a carbohydrate option.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it because as little children and as big adults, mm-hmm. especially if you're sitting in the car and you suck in on the seed because you're waiting for the right opportunity to discard the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, I've been sucking on the seed for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you chew in the seed because your body is craving the nutrients that it's getting, even though you can't like taste it,
mm-hmm.
the body is craving those nutrients.
But you know, we used to crush the whole Gannett when I was younger.
Just going to say.
Yeah.
Just put the Gannett and just crush the whole thing.
And then
swallow it though.
And spit it out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we survived the summer.
Yeah.
That's why Rasta is so important. Right? I take it to the little political, but that's why the questions around the COVID policies and then what they look like after COVID.
Right.
It changed, it completely and totally has changed the way we get local fruit.
Right.
And it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Thank God Rasta on Prince Charles on the eastern side of the Marathon Light is still there. Right? But we've had a detrimental issue because exponentially less people have access to local fruit because the way they normally get it has been disrupted.
Yes.
So we got to figure this out
right.
and get it back there. Here's the next thing about Gannett that's very important. And I realized this last year. You're going to see some Gannett trees in Gannett season with no Gannett on them. And you could be like, this tree is a waste of space, man. Mm-hmm. It ain't producing no Gannett. That is not true. There are male Gannett trees and there are female Gannett trees. And your female Gannett tree is not going to produce Gannett unless there's a male Gannett tree nearby. And what I also noticed, if she don't like that male Ganep tree, the Ganep could be sour. Mm. Right? So you not only you have to talk to your female Ganep tree, but you got to make sure the two of them talking to each other to get the best Ganep.
So they need a good marriage.
I'm telling you.
Good union.
I'm telling you. So just because the Ganep tree doesn't have Ganep on it doesn't mean it's not valuable. It doesn't mean you need to cut it down.
Right.
You need to make sure, observe, see if there are any fruit-producing Ganep trees in the area, and then you know there's a purpose for this tree.
Right.
All right. Empress, you got any more? I got a couple more on my list.
So I have a few more, too. The moringa leaves and the flowers, too. You
go on. But not just the flowers. Everything on the moringa.
True. But everything is correct. But I find out, I didn't know that we could eat the flowers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could saute the flowers, too, just like spinach. And it's very high in and it tastes real nice, too.
Yeah.
So that's with the moringa. You have the callaloo. Everybody should know about the callaloo. Mm-hmm. Shepherd needle should know about that, too. The banana stem. Mm. You peel that older layer off, mm-hmm. go into the inner layer, mm-hmm. and you could saute that too.
Really?
Yes. That.
Banana flowers. So for our for vegan clients of the Red Cross Society, right?
True.
I know when you in a crisis, you often think beggars can't be choosers. But veganism is a lifestyle choice, right?
Lifestyle.
And we want to accommodate people as much as possible. There's so many vegan options available to us.
Right.
Like she said, the banana stem. The banana flowers, people brine them, soy sauce or fish sauce, and they bread them and fry them or bake them, and it's like a vegan fish finger, right? You take the banana skin, once you peeled it off the banana,
right.
Scrape all of that little banana fluff off, wash, brine, trim, you know, cut up,
mm-hmm.
saute with your tree spinach, with your onions, with your tomato, with your sweet pepper. You could add it as herbs to your peas and rice.
That's a new one for me.
That's a new one for me. Yes, sir.
I'm very curious. You have a lot of culinary jargon.
Yeah. The raccoons started to me. See, they think I teaching the raccoons in a labor thing. No, they teaching me.
Do you cook? Because, I've listened to your show many mm-hmm. times, and I hear you a lot of times talking about food and cooking and all this.
Only women who have husbands is cook. I have a business. And it's Indigenous Specialty Supply.
Okay.
And so what we do is we do research and development, and we produce items as proof of concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not just going to tell you that the sea grape or the governor's plum has value. Mm. I'm going to make you a governor's plum sea grape mulberry lemonade.
Try and test it.
Right? So you and your
I never heard these kind of things before.
So you and your wife could stop talking to each other because you have to fight.
What is that, right?
Right? And so governor's plum is popular. We call it governor's plum because it was found in the yard of the governor, like mm-hmm. the botanical garden of the governor when he brought it. It's commonly known as governor's plum.
Right.
It's like an American plum mm-hmm. in the sense that the flesh is translucent.
Mm-hmm.
You have like three little seeds, dense, and sweet, 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 sweet. The skin is thin, purple, dark, and bitter.
Mm.
But if you press the fruit and then strain it, the juice you get when you combine the flesh and the skin is not just divine.
It is
nutrient-packed. It is antioxidant special. It is the most beautiful thing you've ever tasted. But it takes a lot of work to extract
the juice.
Mm.
But it is just delightful and divine.
Okay. I'll test the end product.
You
can do the pressing and the processing.
All right. Here's another thing I realize that a lot of people don't know. Vegetable tops are edible. If it grow in the ground, what pops up is edible. Okay. Carrot tops, beet tops,
yes.
Sweet potato tops. Now, I don't know too much about cassava sticks. I ain't practiced nothing with the cassava sticks yet, right? But remember, cassava has to be prepared specifically. It has to be processed specifically because it does have some toxic elements. And so I wouldn't include cassava in that list. But
right.
Definitely sweet potato tops. You could pick them, wash them off, give them a good clean,
mm-hmm.
add them to your saute pot. Celery, carrots, beets, right? All of these things you could add to your pot. Also, passion fruit and mulberry leaves. Mm. Passion fruit and mulberry leaves are also edible, right? So in a pinch, in a famine, mm-hmm. you can be adding these green leaves to your diet. If you're looking for like a salad vibe, you can wilt them, right? So like mm-hmm. how you wilt a spinach for a salad, you don't quite cook it, mm-hmm. but you can wilt these leaves mm-hmm. to add, right, to a sort of a fresher or a raw taste to your meal.
Right.
Also, the same way you could cook the gnep seed, you could cook the jackfruit seed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've never tried it, a jackfruit.
I haven't tried it either, but research is showing us that people do the same thing with jackfruit seed. Now, guys, we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the caller and see what secret they have for us. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green.
Sparky, the only one thing I need to know from you, what is the magical fruit or thing in the bush y'all used to eat as children? Because when y'all was young, when I was young, you could stay out all day and don't eat. But when y'all was young, y'all used to build a half a house on 17 juju, 5 cocoa plum, and 3 mangoes.
Well, Miss Green, I'd have to answer you, but I need you to give me two minutes.
I got 1 minute. It's 10:55.
Okay. Miss Green, I would like to thank the many friends of Sparky. Sparky made it to the PMH yesterday. It started on Wednesday night. I was not. Thursday morning, I had to make the call for somebody to come all the way from San Susi to take me to Prince Charles Walk-In Clinic because I was afraid to go to the PMH. I got there. They checked me out. They said, Sparky, you need to get to the PMH as soon as doctors. You can't afford Liberty, and you can't afford to get over the United States. You need to go there. I went to the PMH yesterday, and I would like to thank all the young Bahamian doctors, males and females, Bahamians, Haitians, Cubans, and all of them that took care of Sparky. I didn't realize that I was more popular than King Charles till yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to thank all of those people at the PMH, and I would say that from what I found out yesterday, there's a big lie that they said about the PMH. First, they say the air conditioning ain't working. I was cold. And plenty of people was looking for blankets yesterday in accident emergency. And because of Sparky, the jokes went down. And because we had to wait so long, I got in there around 9 o'clock in the morning. I didn't leave till something to 1 this morning. I was put on the table with all kind of EGC because I have a heart problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Bussy 4 withdrawals of blood, EKG, ECG, x-rays, and the nurses and the doctors. I never realized everybody say, I know that voice. That's that Sparky man.
Sparky.
That is calling the Aaron Green on the talk show.
Sparky, you know you got to, you know, next time
and
you go.
They ushered me through there like I was a king.
Sparky, you know next time
and
you go.
Nobody complained because for some reason that was Sparky.
Mm-hmm.
And to all those talk show hosts that blocked me.
No, you can't say that, man, Sparky. We was going so good. We was going so good, man. I'm going to tell you, you can't go to PMH without the fruit no more, though. Next time you go, you better have your bag, your bucket, your basket of fruit with you. Also, get some beets for your blood. Strengthen your blood. Make sure you eat plenty of beets. Sparky, we just happy you okay. We are happy you okay, and we got the word. Things are improving at PMH. And most importantly, the staff trying their hardest. Okay, just before we go... Yeah, text, I hear you. I hear you. Yes, he is. It's okay. It's okay. So, before we go, right? Empress Divine, in Haiti, mud cookies are sometimes eaten by the poorest people to avoid starvation. Similar mud cookies are eaten in Zambia, Guinea, and Cameroon for their nutritional content. And that's what I wanted to say. It's not just that poor people are eating it in Haiti to avoid starvation. It's that people understand that the soil that they're using, the quote-unquote mud that they're using, is nutrient-rich. right? And that's why it is a go-to in times of famine and starvation, right? And in the same way, we often don't realize how much of what we have is nutrient-packed and can be used as an interim solution or a midterm famine solution.
Right. You ever see, I remember my grandmother, sometimes when we would light fire in the yard, she'd go through the and find these little rocks. They'd probably be white, and I'd see her.
Chew on them. It's the calcium.
Right.
There's something in that rock that her body is craving.
Right.
That's why I tell people, listen, if you driving past one of these chicken in the bag place and your belly start talking to you, like a dissertation, like a book report, here's why I'm hungry. Here's why you need to feed me right now. You are craving something that you smelling. What you smelling is the vinegar in the hot sauce and the ketchup steaming in the hot plate and the bag. Because your belly remembers when your great-grammy didn't have a refrigerator. And they had to ferment and pickle and use vinegars to preserve foods.
Right.
And these things were also very good for us. And that's what your body is craving.
Mm.
It ain't just the chicken and the fries.
No.
There's some goodness in there your body's looking for.
Sauce.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So most fruit trees, if you can eat the fruit, you can eat the leaf, right? And most people don't survive or they struggle getting afraid because they discount the value in green leaves and in green things.
Right.
Right? If you are in a survival situation and you're in the bush, if you can identify leaves that you can eat the fruit of, boil the leaf, get the chlorophyll.
Right.
Boil the leaf, drink the water, get the chlorophyll. But also, don't go on a show like Naked and Afraid without doing your research.
No. Try and test.
But most people go thinking survival is killing an animal and catching an animal.
No.
But survival is understanding the environment that you're living in and what you can benefit from.
From it. Most definitely.
To Mr. Sumner and the wonderful Empress in the studio, just know that the host of On the Clock is not just like myself, is not just wise and intelligent, she's highly knowledgeable in virtually everything you need for everyday living, especially natural and local indigenous things. Lady Green is the tippity-tip-tee top of the throne. Listen, it is these two who inspired me to do the research. All of us, we know some of this already, and plenty of y'all know far more than I know. I need y'all to start talking to each other, and especially talking to your children. Because even if they never have to rely on one of these famine foods, they will be stronger for knowing that they exist.
Knowledge.
And they can turn to them if they have to. Empress Divine, next week, I'm going to meet with you in the break. Next week, I think maybe we could talk about like tea leaves and flower leaves and things you didn't know you could be drinking
right.
instead of sweet, 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 sugary sweetness.
Yeah.
President, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. And for those who are hearing us, please come now and support the Red Cross today.
12 until number 94 JFK Red Cross Society headquarters. Be there because Donna could be there and the food could be there.
Yes,
it's going to be a good time.
Excellent.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bless them.
God, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard.
What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out?
Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything?
Guns?
Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.